Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Rabbi Jason Sobel is my guest today, and he's a very special guest to me, and I know he will be for you, because I can sit at his feet for days on end listening to the revelation that he has from the Word of God. It is so powerful, so you're going to love him. Jason, it's wonderful to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
Oh my gosh, we just love you. Our whole ministry loves you and all the insights that you've given us into the Word over the years. But I want our viewers to understand where you've come from, because you're a Jewish rabbi now, born again of the Spirit, Spirit-filled. But how did that all happen? How did God come to get to know you? And how did Yeshua grab a hold of your heart?
God's got a good sense of humor. I grew up in New Jersey in a traditional Jewish family, went to Hebrew school as a child, had lost most of my family during the Holocaust. In seventh grade, got really into basketball, got into high school, wound up getting kicked off the basketball team. That's a whole nother story. And really began to hang out with a really crazy group of friends. Wound up getting in trouble, dropping out of high school, and found myself working in a large recording studio in New York City, pursuing fame and fortune among the rap stars and the rock stars.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. But as I looked at their lives, I said to myself, there has to be more to life than just this. And I began a spiritual journey, basically became a Jew-boo, a Jewish Buddhist, a New Age Jew. I would go to synagogue and study with my rabbi, but meditate for hours a week. And one day while I was meditating, my soul began to vibrate. It left my body. I went to heaven. And I saw this king, Ram Vinisa, high and lifted up in the glory of God, this white luminescent king sitting on this throne.
Wow.
I felt the power of heaven pulsating through my body. Every atom in my body was shaking in a state of euphoria and ecstasy under the power of God that I was experiencing.
Wow.
And I knew that was Yeshua. I knew that was Jesus.
Wow.
I knew nothing about him, but I knew that's who it was.
It was just supernaturally imparted to you.
Just supernaturally.
All of a sudden, you have the understanding that you never had before.
Yeah.
One of the, you know, descriptions of the Spirit of God, of course, is the sevenfold Spirit of God around the throne, and one of them being understanding. And it's like an illumination of understanding concerning God given to you in that moment. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. Everything was just so clear.
Wow.
And he told me I was called to serve him. And I had no idea what that meant. Next thing I know, I'm down in my body, jumping up and down, going, I'm called to serve him. I'm called to serve him. Mom's like, you're called to serve who?
Wow.
And I didn't really understand what it meant to know him. And so my best friend came to faith and he said, Jason, I found the truth. I'm like, what's that? He said, Jesus is Lord and Savior. And I was like, really? He's like, but if you don't believe in him, you're going to go to hell. And in the end times, you're going to be this big beast that beat people that don't believe.
Oh, no.
And I was like, you're Meshuggah, you're crazy. He called me back on the telephone and he said, Jason, could you tell the difference between the Old and the New Testament? He read me this passage. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Mm. And by his stripes were healed.
Wow.
And he said, is that the Old or the New? And I said, well, that's the New Testament. He said, no, that's Isaiah 53,
yeah,
the Jewish prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to be provoked to jealousy.
Wow.
Here's my friend who wasn't even Jewish. He knew more about the promises of the Messiah than I did.
Wow.
And he invited me to join him at this Messianic congregation. And at the end of the evening, they dimmed the lights and prayed. It was Rabbi Jonathan Kahn.
Oh, wow.
And I prayed and I had no idea what it meant. But I wound up coming to know the Lord as a result of that experience. And I took this Bible home and I read it for the first time, and I was blown away how Jewish it was and the promises that were in it, and placed my faith in Messiah. And my mom found the Bible. She's like, "What is this that I found in your room? Go meet with the rabbi." That was a fun experience. But 1 week later,
your family, that would have been a shock. And I've heard from others who have, come to know Yeshua, that it was very difficult for them because their family did not understand and almost felt abandoned because of their faith. But it doesn't, it shouldn't really separate. It should complete. But what happened with your family?
Yeah, I mean, it can be really hard because so many Jewish people have misconception about who Yeshua is. And
right.
The truth is that historically, the Jews have not always been treated well by Christians and by the
right.
Catholic Church and so on and so forth. And so it's really hard for them. And so my mom was really upset. We had lost most of our family in the Holocaust.
Wow.
And she was concerned maybe I had joined a cult.
Oh.
But as she saw that my faith in the Messiah didn't make me less Jewish, it actually made me more committed,
right.
Because everything I had done as a child now finally had spiritual meaning and significance in the revelation.
And it wasn't about the religious forms, it was about the living Word and the living God.
Yeah. It was about knowing the Messiah of Israel, the one promised by Moses and the prophets, and having your life transformed. And then, amazingly, 1 week after I came to faith, I had a friend that was homeless in New York City that called me up that needed to have both legs amputated from sleeping outside in the winter, gangrene from the knees down. He said, "Would you come pray for me?"
Wow.
And so I went and prayed for him. I said, "Silver and gold have I none. I just read the book of Acts. What I have in the name of Yeshua,
And that's
rise.
All you had was just reading the word and you acted
that's
on it?
That's it. That's all I
no
knew.
No seminar on healing
no
ministry.
Seminar. I just said, the Bible says Yeshua did this. The disciples did this.
Wow.
Prayed for him. He got healed. He got saved. And he walked out of the hospital a week later.
What did that do for you?
Well, skyrocketed my faith.
Come
and
on.
I really felt, okay, I guess I'm called to serve God as kind of my vocation in life, my calling in life to ministry.
And did you always know that that would be like, I mean, you are a rabbi in the Hollywood area and you are influencing a lot of influencers. Mm-hmm. Actually, God is using you so powerfully. So when you were called into the ministry or to serve the Lord, did you have any glimpse of what that was going to look like?
I had no idea. The funny thing about it is that my mom told me after the fact that she always dreamed that I would be a rabbi one day. That was her dream for me. Not a doctor, not a lawyer, rabbi. She never told me that. She said, "I didn't think you'd be this type of rabbi, but that's okay. I'm happy."
Wow. How precious. Well, Jason, I want to hear about Fusion Global, because you are reaching out into some amazing areas, especially in the Middle East. Right now, I believe one of the greatest Gentile harvest realms is amongst the Muslims, and they're so open like never before. God is targeting the Arab nations, and so are you. So could you share with us a little bit about what you're doing in that area?
Yeah, I mean, with our ministry, Fusion Global, part of our passion is to ignite transformation and revolutionizing faith through really a few different means. One is uniting Gentile and Jew, and one is helping people connect with the Jewish roots and get the revelation that comes like when the scriptures are opened up and you see how it all connects.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we're doing is we're partnering with an organization called Al Hayat, which broadcasts to 40 million Arab viewers in the Middle East. They are one of the pioneers of media into the Middle East. And we are creating a show, it's going to air not too long from now, called Journey with the Rabbi. And we're going to be the first Jewish messianic rabbi teaching into the Arab world on this TV station. And we're very excited about it.
Oh, it's so awesome. So what kind of things are you going to share? Because you're targeting an Arab heart or mind.
Some of the opening episodes are just kind of walking to the scriptures and show how everything in the old, the prophecies that point to Yeshua, and how the old and the new connect. But right along with that, one of the very first episodes that we'll be airing is this idea of how God created the world in twos, and the two are meant to be one to bring forth the blessing, and how when Jew and Gentile come together and when Arab and Jew come together, that is God's heart to release God's blessing on earth.
It's all about one new man in Christ. Amen.
Absolutely.
It's just so beautiful.
So letting the Arab world know that as a Jew, I love them.
Yes.
And that God has a plan for the Arab world, and he's got a plan for the Jewish people. And that's the Isaiah 19 promise, this road that brings Egypt and Assyria and Israel, this highway of holiness that God is going to form. This is what God wants to do in the world at this season.
Well, we pray the Lord's richest blessing on you as you move forward into that. And may the Lord give you fruit Amen. Beyond anything that you could ever imagine. I'm really excited about that. I love the Muslims. I just have such a heart for them. And actually, every Muslim person I've ever met has been just beautiful. They've been beautiful. And God loves them. Very special
people. And I think God wants to unite the family. I mean, Isaac and Ishmael come forth from Abraham.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not meant to be a divided family.
Exactly.
We're meant to be a united family. There's no peace plan that could ever do it. It's only in Messiah.
And God only has his way only.
Yeah.
And the Messiah did not come through Ishmael. Came through Isaac.
That's true.
You know, and so, but it's so that we can all be blessed, all of us, all the Gentiles, all the Jews, be blessed in one. And wow.
Yeah.
It's
well,
a
absolutely.
Perfect
and
plan.
I think that the reality is that if the gospel is the power of God into salvation, it deals with the real issues that we're facing in the world today.
Right.
And the real issue in the world today is broken and fragmented relationships among individuals and among nations.
Yeah.
And so one of the greatest testimonies to the fact that he is the Messiah and the gospel is the good news that is powerful is when you see Jew and Gentile united as one, Arab and Jew loving each other in the Lord.
Yes.
There's no other way. How could that ever happen any way else?
Exactly. It's wonderful. Rabbi Jason, a lot of Christians ask, why do I need to understand my Jewish roots?
Right.
And they actually struggle with that.
Yeah.
But there's real importance in it, isn't there? Can you explain some of that to us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's kind of like I remember when we first went out to buy a high definition TV, it was right around the Super Bowl. And we got the TV installed, and I wound up watching the whole game, and I was like, there's nothing so great about this. And then my friend told me, well, did you put it on the high-definition stations? I was watching.
So you're watching standard def.
On high-def TV.
High-def TV.
When I switched the channel to high-def,
wow,
I was like, whoa, this really does make a difference.
It
there's
makes
a clarity
a difference.
And a richness and details that I couldn't get any other way. And what I'd say is when you understand the Jewish roots, it's not that you can't understand the Bible without it, but it's like watching it in high definition.
Exactly.
And part of our passion is the road to Emmaus experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua opened up the scriptures and he showed how everything in the old pointed to him. And they said that our hearts not burn mm-hmm. within us. There was a revelation that came.
Yeah, that's awesome. A lot of times I've noticed Christians getting very passionate about
right.
their Jewish roots, and they start pushing it on everyone and, you know, saying, well, let's observe this, let's observe that. But it's like, if something doesn't come by revelation to
right.
you, it's just another work. But I find going through the Old Testament scriptures, in fact, I'm in the Old Testament right now in my personal devotions. Oh my goodness, there's just layer upon layer upon layer of revelation.
Yeah.
And when you follow all that God gave to his people in the Old Testament, it all points to Jesus. It all points to our redemption. It all points to the glory of God. And there's such rich deposits of revelation in it.
Absolutely. It's like the first letter of the Hebrew Bible, Genesis, beginning, Bereshit, the letter B or Beit. The last letter of the book of Revelation is the word Amen, it's Nun. The first and last letter spells Ben, Son. From the first letter to the last letter, it all points to the Son.
Oh,
and that's what it's about. It's not about doing a set of things. And that concerns me when people force that upon others. It's not what God wants. He creates each one of us differently, and each one of us is going to connect with it in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. And I just say it's so exciting. Even some of the you know, biblical feasts that the Jews observe, I didn't have an understanding of it. And years ago, I remember some very zealous Christians who just loved all the Jewish festivals and feasts said, you've got to observe them, you've got to observe them. Well, I just thought, well, why? I felt kind of like boxed in, right? And I just couldn't do it. I didn't have a free spirit to observe them.
Yeah.
But then the Lord, He started speaking to my heart. And I'll never forget, like, Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement, when He started highlighting those, and He walked me into them, and I started having an encounter with Him. It changed everything.
Yeah.
You know, so it's got to be really by the Spirit. It has to be a revelation by the Spirit. But He has so much to reveal to us. And in this day and hour, and you are very prophetic. You know, you are a rabbi, you're a teacher for sure, excellent teacher of the word, but you are also very prophetic, and you get just understanding of what God is doing. I say almost like, you know, a son of Issachar anointing, discerning the times and knowing what Israel must do. With that, what do you see the Lord doing in this particular day and hour? What is He saying to us?
Yeah, I mean, I really do believe that we're in this very significant season. And I believe one of the themes for this Hebrew year of 5776, this year of Ayin Vav, is that this is a season of fullness that comes from divine connection. And this goes back to the roots in John chapter 2, because in Hebrew, the number for fullness and the Hebrew word melo is the number 76. So in John chapter 2, He says, fill the stone pot, six stone pots to the brim, six. And the Hebrew word for wine is 70. So literally John chapter 2, filled to the brim, is connected to 76. And this is the year 5776. So there is this fullness that I believe that God is wanting to bring into our lives.
Wow. It's like a revival release, right? It's like the outpouring,
it's the overflow. Exactly. Not living out of the lack, but living out of the overflow.
Wow.
And so many times we want the overflow, but we have to understand that the fullness only comes through connection. And that's where the six of the 76, because six in Hebrew is the letter Vav. Numbers are written with letter. And the first place the letter Vav occurs is Genesis chapter 1. Vav is the letter that connects heaven and earth.
Mm.
So when heaven and earth connect, and that's what Jesus came to do, Yeshua came to do, to reconnect heaven and earth, when that connection comes, that's when the fullness is released in our lives.
Wow. There's this holy, holy convergence 2,000 years ago between heaven and earth that's found in Christ.
Yes.
And if you do not know Jesus Christ, Yeshua, as your personal Savior yet, just call on His name.
Yes.
He says, they who call upon His name shall be saved, delivered, healed, brought into His heart, and He will forgive all of your sins. 2,000 years ago, heaven converged with earth and gave us this open invitation to come to the Father, to be completely restored in Jesus. It's not religion. It's not observing rules here and there, even though some of those can be even beneficial. It's not about that, though. It's about your heart connected to His heart through Yeshua, through Jesus Christ. It's just awesome.
It's exciting.
You know what, Jason? I had a week ago, I had an encounter with the Lord at 5:55 a.m.,
wow.
5 minutes before 6.
Yeah.
And in it, I was taken up into this place in the heavenlies, and there was a corridor. And at the end of the corridor, there was a door, and the door is revival, or you could say outpouring, you know, fullness.
Yeah.
And Jesus was at the door, but all these people were in the corridor, and they had keys. And one of the keys was hope, and another key was desperation, and the third key was expectation. None of those keys opened that door, even though I got them into the corridor, obviously, but it didn't get them into the door. I had a glimpse into the room that was called Revival. And it was like there was lightnings and thunders and rain and light and glory. It was just beautiful. Just had a quick glimpse into it. And the Lord showed me a key. And he said, the key to enter that door is faith-filled prayer. And even though all the other things will get you close to the door, there's a time when we have to unlock that fullness.
Yes.
To unlock it. And then he took me into another corridor called the Corridor of Revivals. And on the walls were pictures of biblical revivals and past church revivals, even in the last century or so. And the pictures, when you looked at them, turned into real form. You could actually go through them into those revivals where the Spirit was moving. And then he put on the wall a new frame. And he said, this is the new revival that's coming. Mm. Something to bring back to life and outpouring a fullness of what he wants to give. And when you were just sharing about even what you feel this year God has offered us with the fullness, I just couldn't help but remember that visitation.
But here's the thing that I think we have to remember. It's a fullness that comes from emptiness.
Come on.
It's not until everything ran out that
where
he
you feel
said,
that emptiness
fill it to the brim.
Beautiful.
And that's whether it's like Joseph, where we're going into the pits and the prisons that purify us and prepare us for the promotion and the palace places that God wants to seat us in, or it's just a continual pouring out of ourselves, like you're saying, before the Lord, because you can't be full of God and full of yourself at the same
time. Right, exactly.
As you pour yourself out in prayer and worship before the Lord, then God pours himself and pours his blessings into our lives.
And isn't that what really just invites an outpouring of the Spirit is our desperation? Because that's what got people into that corridor, right next to that door. It was the hope for it, the desperation for it, the expectation, because you're so hungry. Jesus said, blessed are the hungry for they will be filled.
I think that going back to what you said, one of the things that God is really impressing upon my heart, and even with this kind of revelation that God gave me this morning, this encounter in heaven where I was standing in heaven upside down, is this idea that we are called to live with a continual rootedness in heaven.
Come on.
That the yearning is for the presence of God.
Yes.
And this, all of prayer, all of worship, all of reading the scripture, everything that we do, there's only one purpose to it all, I believe. That's in Hebrew, it's devikut. It's cleaving to God and being glued to him. The purpose of it all is deeper connection and union with God through the Son, Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah.
Because God plus nothing equals everything we need.
Yeah.
God plus nothing.
But I think that we have to get to the point where we live continually in his presence.
Come on.
With this real intentionality.
Yeah.
God is wanting to restore what was lost in Eden, but he wants us to live in Eden right now.
Yep.
Eden is the place of delight. Delight comes from a place of desiring and yearning for the presence of God, in which there is fullness of joy.
Wow.
And I think one of the spiritual realities, one of the spiritual disciplines that we need, is that we can elevate everything we do to a place of heaven and godliness when we come at it with the intention of, I am doing this for the kingdom.
Come on.
So before we eat, I'm eating for the kingdom, to strengthen myself in the service of the Lord. When I'm talking to you, I see God around you. Mm-hmm. I see God in you. I'm aware of the presence. When I work, I'm not just doing it to earn a paycheck.
Right.
This is my form of worship to the Lord.
And everything becomes filled with life then, because it's who we are.
That's it.
It's who we are. We're kingdom children. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. We belong to the King. God has brought us to himself. This is so awesome and so simple. I love the way that you share that.
We're called to take everything that we have and everything we are and raise it up to heaven.
Come on.
And when we raise it in that act of worship, then the blessing flows down.
Love
because
it.
In Hebrew, the word for work and worship is the same word.
Really?
Avodah.
Oh,
the
wow.
only difference is who you're doing it for.
Wow.
When everything you do is done to the Lord and unto the Lord, it becomes an act of worship as significant as praying.
So beautiful. Jason, thank you so much for being with us today. And for those of you that are watching, I just know that God wants to connect your heart deeper than you've ever been connected to Him before. And it's just a matter of just look to Him, receive from Him, love Him. He loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. Take His hand, walk with Him, do everything for Him, in Him, and through Him, and watch His joy, His peace, and His love fill you to overflowing. We'll see you next time. And why don't you just go out wherever you are and share His love with others. Share the joy that you have. Share the peace that you have. Share Him. And let the whole world know that they are loved like you are loved. God bless you. We'll see you next time. God tonight is commissioning you with a mantle. This company of women is going to be raised up and seen in the earth, and you will be marked.
You're about to experience the fire of God in a purifying way.
God is empowering women with innovative abilities and vision for an unprecedented global movement.
All of the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of the living God.
To ignite faith and destiny across the globe.
God is looking for some people who will say, God, I am ready. He is looking for you.
Join Patricia King, Heidi Baker, Stacy Campbell, Barbara Garlington, Iverna Tompkins, Clarice Fluitt, Pat Francis, Joan Hunter, Katie Souza, founder James Gall, and a special word from Joy Dawson for this worldwide event to impart, commission, equip, and empower women on the front line.
Is there anyone here tonight that identifies with this great company of women?
Now is the time. Take your place. Register today, May 26th through May 28th, 2016. Scottsdale, Arizona. Men are always welcome. Rise up. Unite. Become a woman on the front lines.
God has a plan to set the nations in order. And you're part of that plan.
Draw your sword. I say you have fought too long with the shield of faith. Now draw the sword and enforce the word.
Is there anyone in this house tonight that is willing to take up the mantle? Is there anyone who's willing to say, yes, I will take it?